This morning our scriptures come from the letter to the Ephesians. Paul is writing to the Ephesian church and describing all of the goodness that has come to them through Jesus Christ. And this morning I'm going to read to you from the first chapter, starting at the 11th verse. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above every rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The word of God for us, the people of God. So the first part of that passage is quite a mouthful, isn't it? Did anyone get any of that? That's a really hard kind of series of statements that the Apostle Paul makes. But what he is basically saying, that it is in Jesus Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. It's through Jesus Christ that we know our plan and our purpose. It's through Jesus Christ that we come to a fuller understanding of our humanity. That means acknowledging our sin and our distress, as well as understanding the power that the Holy Spirit has to work in our lives to offer us and lead us into right ways, to lead us down right paths, to help us to find ways in which we can encounter God in and through our daily lives. And it's all because of what Jesus did for us that we have this opportunity to live this glorious life. It's a life that is filled with love. And we need to come to this understanding that love is the overall purpose that God has for everyone. Love is it, guys. I mean, how good is that? This is just an amazing passage. We've been adopted by God to be transformed. God has chosen and selected us. We are the adopted sons and daughters that are given this wonderful opportunity to be transformed. We don't have to live lives that are meaningless. We don't have to live lives that are divisive. We can live whole and fruitful lives in and through God's love. Now, God loves us just as we are, but God wants us to be transformed as well. The Holy Spirit is that which gives us our first installment in this inheritance so to speak, that he talks about, this inheritance that we have as Christians. We claim and inherit the same life that Jesus Christ has. And so this Holy Spirit is what Jesus sent down to live and dwell within us and in our midst, so that we might get a little foretaste of what this eternal life is all about. That in fact, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can begin living that eternal life right now. Right now and right here. That our life in faith gives us this kind of freedom. And it's a freedom that we can live fully reconciled to God. There's nothing that has to separate us from God. And there's nothing that has to separate us from one another either. That, you know, if we look at the world today, the world has many divisions and the world has many places of separation. But because of Jesus Christ and because of this Holy Spirit, all that we are can be unified. That in fact, God would like to see that we are all unified and become one. So then the part of this passage that was easy to understand was the Apostle Paul's prayer, his prayer for the church, his prayer that we might gain this spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the church together might come to know God in a way that is connected, that there is a connectedness here that exists because of Jesus Christ. This prayer might be the very prayer, and I ask you to take it home with you, especially that section that goes 15 through 23. Take that prayer home with you. Any of you who have joined in the fasting on Thursday nights with Bishop Cameron, use that prayer for your time of fasting Thursday and Friday. This is a wonderful prayer for the church, that we might grow in our faith, that our eyes might be enlightened to this glorious, glorious faith and this glorious life that Jesus Christ has for us, that we might come to know fully his immeasurable love. The more we understand of God's immeasurable love, the more we want to share that, the more that we want to extend that same grace forever for others, because we realize it doesn't run out. It doesn't give out, that it's there and available for us all. And we come to understand just a little bit of that immeasurable love if we think about Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. It's the resurrection power, the ascension power that lifted him up to God. This is the power that rules. This is the power that has dominion and authority over us all. This very power that would raise him from the dead is the power that we are granted inheritance to. It's the very power that we can live our lives. It's what God has planned for us. To raise us from dead places, to bring us to live and dwell and sit in places with Christ. And there is no name other than the name of Jesus Christ that has power more than that. Jesus' name is above all other names. So today is the day in which we remember and we celebrate that God in Christ, all that he has done for us through his suffering, death, and resurrection. And as believers in Christ, we argue against the powers that enslave humankind. We argue against the powers that threaten divisions, because we know that through Christ, all those powers have been overcome. And a saint is a person whose every effort is to live this kind of reconciled life, whose every effort is to live opposing these powers that the world wants to divide. A saint is one who becomes one with others for their sake. Saints in the Protestant church have not been lifted up in the same way as they have in some of the other traditions, particularly the Roman church, the Eastern Orthodox church, the Lutheran church. They all have this process for canonization. In the Roman church, there are two absolutes for becoming a saint. That if you martyred your life, then you automatically gained sainthood. And the other was that if a miracle occurred because of your intercessions, then they will canonize and give you sainthood. This often takes quite a long time to gain sainthood. There was one person, I think, the shortest that it ever took was 28 years. So it's a very long process of investigation. Some of you know, I'm going to share something with you about one of the saints that I'm particularly interested in, Saint Teresa of Avila. She was canonized after 40 years, so that was about how long her took. But Saint Teresa is an interesting saint for us to look at. She was 14 years old when her mother died, and her father took her to a convent. And during her time in this convent, she became of faith. And she also got very, very ill and actually became paralyzed from the waist down. And she was paralyzed from the waist down for 3 years. And it was an incredibly painfully difficult illness for her. She suffered terribly. When she left the... When she recovered from that gradually, she continued on at the convent, and it was sometime around the time of her age was like 39 years old. She was 39, so she'd have from the age of 14 to 39 living in a community of faith, and at 39 she experienced this conversion that changed her life. And the conversion that changed her life called her to dedicate her life to prayer in a new and different way. And you can read some of her prayer life through the book, through her writings. They're called The Interior Castle. So you can read that if you're interested. But during that time, after this conversion experience, she founded 17 convents. She was an amazing teacher in the church. Again, she gained sainthood about 40 years after her death, and 400 years after her death, in 1970, she was named the first woman doctor of the church. So her writings and her teachings were so valuable to the church that they granted her the status of doctor. So there are so many ancient stories of saints that are helpful and encouraging for us to grow, as are some of the modern day saints that we can live and grow from, these cloud of witnesses that we have all around us that help us to grow in faith. And I want to share just a little story for you about what I think helps us to grow uniquely from our place and time in history. And so I'm going to tell you a story about the turtle. These are sea turtles on my stole, if you didn't see them. A friend of mine who knows this story made this stole for me just particularly so I could share it in worship often. Sea turtles are, you know, live near the beach, and they nest up in the sand. And when it comes time for them to hatch, especially in our modern day, they need to be protected because they're hatching, in the United States anyway, they're hatching. When it occurs in the morning time. And what they do is they follow the light. And that what they're created to do is to take each step toward the sun that's rising up on the horizon. But because of our modern day world, there's a lot of street lights, and they get confused and they go off in all sort of directions. So preservationists will keep them kind of collected on the beach, and then they'll release them into the sea themselves. There was a particular year, it was the year that our oldest son was going away to college, and I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed as a mother, and how do you release and let go of your child? And we were at the beach for a weekend, and I went walking on the beach, full well knowing that the preservationists had already come and gone. It was they go out at like 5 in the morning to release the turtles, but it was the season for sea turtles, and I was there at 9 o'clock. And sure enough, there was this little turtle that was placing every foot, just walking across that beach right out toward the sun, and just placing one foot in front of the other, and very slowly and deliberately doing exactly what it was created to do, what it was wired to do. And as I was watching that sea turtle, I realized that indeed this was exactly my son's experience, that he was doing exactly what he was created to do, taking each step that he needed to take to move out into this ocean. This ocean is an uncertain future. We don't know what's going to happen when sea turtles are released. They're just simply released, and everything is provided for them in that environment so that they can live fully. And so part of that trust is understanding that we as people grow in our faith by just putting one step ahead of the other and following the light of Christ. Like the light that dwells within that pumpkin right now is a shining remembrance of this light of God that has come to the earth to overcome all darkness. And if we will just understand that we are called to follow that very light, that is all we are called to do as Christians, is to continue to take one step toward the other and understand that Christ is the light for our lives. Well, today I wanted to share a few words with you about John Chandler, who took each step in his life to do exactly as he was created to do. And I am sure that he would not appreciate being called a saint today, although I think there are many things that John offered that would qualify him as a saint. John Alden Chandler was 94. He was born on August 15th in 1926, and he was received into the fullness of God's love on October 18th. Of this last month, given eternal life through Jesus Christ. John served his country well. He served 22 years as an active duty Army person, and then he served in a civilian capacity as the Adjutant General. He was a Chief Administrative Officer in the Army until he retired. I only met John since I had first arrived at Wesley in July. And the first time I met was he was in the hospital and enduring difficulty breathing. And yet in the midst of his difficulty, he was bright and positive and charming and offering and extending friendship to me and everyone that was with him. He and Melly were married 40 years. Is that right? Just almost 40 years that you were married. And this their relationship with Wesley United Methodist Church actually preceded their time here in Alexandria, because they met and were good friends with Wrightson and Betty Tung during Wrightson's time at a church in Healing Springs in Virginia. And then their long friendship with them continued on through Wrightson's pastorate here. As John's health deteriorated over these last few months, his concern was for those who were around him. He continued to be loving and kind to everyone that he met as he was going through even some of the difficult things. You know, it's really hard to let go. It's hard to come to a place in your life where you can't get up and walk anymore when you've been used to being someone who's been able to walk and be active and on your own. On one of my visits with John, you know, he was always asking about other people. He wasn't complaining about his situation. He wanted to know about you, and he, he asked me about our kids, and I told him about our son Ives, who was a painter, and he just loved that we had an artist in his family, and he told me the stories about his mother, who was also a painter and an artist, and how much he learned from her creative nurturing ability, and had dear, dear memories. He dearly loved his mother and his father. He was not fearful about his situation, but he was worried about Mellie. John Chandler would be so thankful for the devotion of his wife, very selfless devotion, who satisfied his wishes by taking him to Pocatillo, Idaho, so that he could rest alongside of his parents. When John Chandler, again, I'm sure, didn't consider himself a saint, but his witness of love and faithfulness to his friends and his family encourage us to take that same walk of faith, right? Encourage us to be those that are faithful and loving to our spouses and faithful and loving in our friendships. I hope that each one of you in the next weeks to come will take some time to spend with Mellie and to remember John with her in the weeks ahead. It is especially helpful to remember this day, the testimony of the saints who are our biblical witnesses, those who testified to the risen Christ first. And so today we remember the amazing witness of Mary Magdalene at the tomb, who understood immediately and ran and got the disciples and said, "Look, he's not here," who was the first person that Jesus called by name, that the risen Christ called her by name, and she recognized him. For the disciples who were in the upper room when Jesus passed through the wall to share with him that he was indeed alive and that he would send the Holy Spirit to them. For the disciples who were on the Emmaus Road, who witnessed to the risen Christ, and after their time of sharing in scriptures and sharing a meal, recognized him immediately. So we are also those who are to believe in the resurrection and to believe in the promise of eternal life. We are given this hope in and through the saints. We look back on the gospel and we remember our faith story, and that enables us to take each step forward and move toward the light. Amen.